welcome to God's house this morning. It's called wintry morning, changed for yesterday. Weather ever changeable, unpredictable, like ourselves sometimes. Can you hear me all right? Jim? You all right? Abdi? Neighbour Alexander? Struggling? I don't want to be standing here and nobody hearing me. It's a waste of your time, it's a waste of my time, it's a waste of God's time. It's lovely to be here. Erin, will you come up and give your first reading? The first reading. Erin's got to read for Psalm 37.
A Psalm of David. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Don't stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. Yeah.
No, I work with paper and pencil most of the time, but Norman sent all the intimations to me, so I'm going to just read them off my phone. I didn't write them all, I didn't think. Right, it's the final day for the shoebox donations. Alma's putting on a little ticket for me to read out. This is for Alma herself. This Sunday is the last day for donating loose items, as we are going to use the items to make boxes next week. Those who are creating their own boxes have until the end of the month to return them to the church. Money donations for last minute things for boxes is still welcome. Thank you to everyone who has contributed in any way thus far. That's a thanks for Alma. And I just thought, let you think that the things are coming to an end there. Knit and Natter, 2 p.m. Monday on. Bible reading prayer meeting Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. in upstairs lounge on Zoom. It's a lovely time of fellowship together. If you didn't normally come, I would ask you to come and fill up that room upstairs, upper room. Fitness and Fellowship, Thursday, 6:30. Sunhaven BB's Friday night. I'm not sure fit time. 7 o'clock, whatever, wouldn't affect us. We're not the BBs, eh? Sunhaven BB's Friday night. Pilates, Saturday, 9:30 a.m. And that's an advance notice of the baptismal service for Jen Lee on Kingston Bodham Evangelical meeting. Sunday, the 27th. Of this month at 6 p.m. An advance notice, a Sunday night service, 1712, that's well ahead, 6 p.m. with representative from Mission Africa, Robbie Troop. If anyone can provide overnight accommodation for Robbie and his wife Margaret for the Saturday night and Sunday night, let Norman know. Robbie and Margaret will lunch in Bodham on Sunday, as they are in Bodham Evangelical on Sunday morning, 17:11:24. Next week's speaker, God willing, is John McDonnell from St. Combs. Thank you. That's a long spiel. A long spiel. Thank you. We're going to sing the first hymn, and it's, if I can see my ticket here, I write things down. First hymn is My Soul in Sad Exile Was Lost in Life's Sea. Lovely hymn. What Psalm 37? Do you notice anything about it? As a command, and then as a promise. In every verse in there. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust only in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Four commands. Trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, and rest in the Lord, and the promises of following. That's God's word. That's yea and amen. God's word. Let's just bow our heads. We'll commit our time unto the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the desire to enter your house this morning. And we thank you for each head bowed in your presence. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that as each of us have different needs and different desires, we ask that you will meet us at the point of our need. Father, we thank you. It's a wonderful privilege even to be here this morning. The health and strength you've bestowed upon us. And we would just ask that as we gather together, the Lord's name will be lifted up. We thank you for it. We thank you for the gospel message. We thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's promised that through your word that it will not return to your void, but it shall and will accomplish that for which you sent it. So, Father, just abide with us today. We thank you for the opportunities I'm saying. We pray for all other gatherings such as this Lord's Day morning, where the Saviour's name will be lifted up to a dying world. We would just ask, Heavenly Father, that you will bless it wherever it goes forth, from Grand Cathedral, Mission Hall, street corners, and wherever the word will be proclaimed. We ask that your blessing will be upon it. And we thank you that we can still open this book in this country and meet together in like manner as this. Pray for those who are not able to come out today, Father. We just ask it, whatever their desire would be, we just ask that you would be with them, protect them and keep them, bless them, be close to them, Father. Let them feel your presence and your comfort. And we just ask that you will strengthen them in whatever their desire is. Pray for those who have been mourning this morning, Father. Think Alex Salmon's family again today. And we realise that his race is run. He's run a few races in his time for seats and for Parliament. Yet that's his final race run, Father. But where will he spend eternity? And so we just ask, Father, that you will comfort those who mourn. You've promised that you'll bind up the brokenhearted. So, Father, just take over this time for us, and we just ask that all things will be said and done for your honour and for your glory, for you alone are worthy. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Now, the table's set, and all who love the Lord and are redeemed through his blood shed on Calvary, we're invited. We're invited. The invitation is there. We're to remember him with the bread and the wine. And the hymn we're going to sing is King of My Life, the first three verses of King of My Life. God's word says in Isaiah 53, well-known portion of scripture, I'm sure we can all near quote this off my heart. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our transgressions and carried our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You see, the Lord, when he went into that garden, when he was making for Jerusalem, to knowing that the cross was before him, he was full of sadness. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. Sad words, and ye would not. That word still apply today to the children of Israel. We have to pray for a peace in Jerusalem. We have to pray for the children of Israel, God's chosen people. Yet they still turn their back upon the Lord. And it's sad to know. And there was sadness. It says, as the Lord looked down in Luke's gospel, as he looked down upon Jerusalem, he wept over that city, knowing what was going to befall it, knowing what was in the future. And he wept over Jerusalem. There was sadness. There was submission. As the Garden of Gethsemane, as the Lord and the disciples went through, the Lord went that little bit further and he fell on his face. His sweat was well, drops of blood falling to the ground. Yet there was submission. He says, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. Knowing that the cross was before him, submission. And there was sacrifice. Matthew 27 tells us of the story of the cross, bearing our sins and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Condemned on the cross of Calvary. There was sacrifice and there was satisfaction. We just read that, I knew, behold, as for me, I behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Lovely to ken that, isn't it? John, 1 John 3 and 2 says, behold, now we are the children of God, and it is as not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's your in mind portion this morning, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 tells us, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men and women the things that God has prepared for those that love him. That's you and me this morning, if we are redeemed through the precious blood of the Saviour. We've come into the table here, and the table is set, the symbols are here, and we are going to partake of the bread and the wine. Would someone like to give thanks for the bread?
Jesus to descend from the highest heaven to the lowest depths, and what he went through for us in the Calvary. We cannot put this into words, Lord, but we just give you thanks. Thanks and praise for saving sinners like us through your death and cross. And that as we've taken this bread, may we really consider Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and treasure you in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen.
God's word says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes." Would someone like to give thanks? for the cup. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to gather around your table to remember you. We thank you for the privilege it is, as James has said, that it is a privilege. And we thank you that we are redeemed through the precious blood of the Saviour, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this again, Father. We realise that these elements will pass away. When the Lord comes back for his own blood people, we will see a new Jerusalem, a new time, and we will be with the Lord forevermore. So, Father, thank you from thankful hearts this morning as we lift up our praise and adoration to thee, for we ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. Amen. To see his face, this is my goal, the deepest longing of my soul. Through storm and stress, my path I'll trace, till satisfied I see his face. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing at chorus. It's a... 13. First chorus. Oh no, three verses, two verses to sing. Sorry, folks. Well, I'm a wee ahead of my time. We'll sing the last two verses of that hymn. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thank you, Isabel. Keep my light. Now we sing a chorus, a couple of choruses. Lord of my life. No. Okay, that's what a memory I've got. I want to worship the Lord. It'll come to me. I want to worship the Lord. We'll sing it through twice. It's just a short chorus. And then we're going to sing another one. It's a privilege to worship thee, Jesus. Just remain seated. It's a very easy tune to pick up on, so we'll sing it through twice.
Thank you.
Well, James, we come up and do the Bible reading. The Bible reading today is for Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 13.
Straight for shifts on myself, but...
Sorry, Bob. A bigger leg than...
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in you and those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and sealed us, sealed with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that is done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that all that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promised, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Amen.
We'll sing it a couple of verses of the next hymn, which is I Have a Shepherd. Two verses. Time's running out, isn't it? We'll sing the first two verses. I Have a Shepherd.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. Keep me right. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to open your word. And we just ask that all things will be done for your honour and glory. Take the stuttering, stammering tongue of your servant. And we ask, Heavenly Father, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, your word will go forth with the convicting, converting power of the Spirit to every heart and head bowed in this room this morning. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. Now, can anybody hear me okay? My voice is getting off a poor. Jim, you hear that right? No bad. I hear that right. Right. The message this morning is in Christ. Being in Christ. There are four beautiful truths of our salvation. What we are saved from. If we are saved and redeemed this morning, we've been saved for the guilt, the doom, the stain, and dominion of sin. How wonderful, eh? What a thing to thank the Lord for. We are redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. What we are saved by? By grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. How amazing. How amazing that message is, isn't it? What we are saved for? Mark 16 and 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John 17, 13 to 20, if we read that later on, that we might be his instruments used in the saving of others, and we be to the praise and glory of his name. How beautiful. What we are saved into, all the blessings into which we are ushered and promised from his word upon our turning to him, for how great salvation. Deuteronomy 6 and 23 says, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in into his great salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, one of my neighbours coming to me, and after I was saved, well, back in 1980, and she says, but you've changed, Albert. And I said, I'm really glad to hear you say that. If there's no change, there's no salvation. We are saved through the precious blood of the Saviour. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourselves, ourselves, whether you be or ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. First, are we in? The verse says, in the faith. That is in the body of true believers. It is really a personal allegiance. It is very sad how many people we come across who are attempting to do Christ's work while they themselves are out of Christ. We just need to look across the road here to Kenot in the years that have gone by. Ministers of the word, Sunday school teachers, writers, and many more who are not in Christ. And that's sad. That's really sad. To know that there are still people preaching the word as such, yet it's nae through the Spirit. It's maybe a head knowledge, but it's nae a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Salvation is nae there. Henry Francis Light, author of the hymn Abide With Me, and James Huntington, martyred bishop of Eastern Equatorial Africa, were both ordained before their conversion. Great store of religious information, great deal of holy desire, but no personal relationship with the Saviour. They knew all about being, about religion, but they were not in Christ. The Reverend William Haslam, M.A., was ordained and given a church before he was in. His gardener fell in, and though he was a good churchman, he soon realised that all his religion while on his deathbed would do him no good. He did not send for the minister, but for a converted friend who pointed him to the Saviour and the gardener was converted, saved, and brought in. Brought in. At last the minister went to visit him, and the gardener told him his testimony, knowing that the minister was unsaved. The minister could not take it and left the house. While on a visit to the Reverend Robert Aitken, he told him of his gardener's conversion and how he could not help him spiritually. Reverend Aitken told him that he wouldn't have sent for him either. He wouldn't have bothered with him. It's sad not to have sent him either, and after prayer for him, the minister left for home. He was due to take the service on Sunday, but was filled with dread and despair, but went along with the intention of only reading the morning prayers. After the psalms and hymns, he felt a bit better and went on to read the anti-communion service and gave out the text for the service, "What think ye of Christ?" What a question. What think ye of Christ? Matthew 22 and 42. He went to explain how the Pharisees did not know that Christ was the Son of God, or that he had come to save them. As he was speaking, he began to realize that he was no better than the Pharisees, and did not believe that Christ had come to save and to seek and to save sinners. He didn't remember all that he had said, but a light had dawned in his soul. And he continued to preach his message until a local preacher in the congregation stood up and shouted, "The parson's converted! The parson's converted! Hallelujah!" The congregation of 400 started to shout and praise God. To calm them things down, he gave out the doxology, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." And the people sang it over and over again. People began to come in off the street to see what the commotion was, and were surprised to see what was going on. When the noise subsided, he found at least 20 people crying for mercy. Three of them were saved, who that were saved were from his own house, and they went from the church praising and glorifying God. They had been brought in. They were brought in. What a transformation. What a privilege to be brought in. Again, the church couldn't hold. Wait a minute, I've missed a bit here. Reverend Haslam went on to preach the Word of God for 29 years. Goodness. On average, 600 times a year. And news spread that the parson had been converted by his own sermon, and the church couldn't hold the people for the evening service. It was the start of a great revival that continued for 3 years, and many folks and souls were brought in. What a transformation God makes in our lives. It means a true understanding. The man of the world cannot understand the man in Christ. He cannot grasp the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 tells us that. He may be clever and so proficient in his own things, but knows nothing of the works of the Spirit. A man heard about a church window that he walked past every day, but he couldn't see anything special about it, except it was a dirty, dull, dreary affair, covered with grime and wire. One day he entered the church, and what he saw took his breath away. The window was beautiful, but only from the inside. He was in. It's a true understanding. It's a wonderful protection. When we are saved, we are not removed from the earth. The Lord said in John 17:15, "I pray for those that you have given me." We're still on the earth, and we're still in the world. I pray. How Paul writes to Christians in Corinth, a wicked, vile city, whereby to today's standards anything goes. But the Christians are reminded in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 that they are in Christ. In Christ. Just imagine a man shipwrecked on a desert island, and in finding a pen, which is amazing, but they found it. Found a pen and paper, even more amazing. He wrote a letter and threw it into the sea. The writing would blur, the paper would be soggy and fat a bit. Pointless. But suppose he found a bottle. Wow. Eh? God's provision. Put the paper inside the bottle and sealed it. The paper would be protected in the sea because it was in the bottle. John 3:16-18, I'm going to read this. Very well known scriptures, but I'm going to read it. John 3:16, but 17 and 18 is a wee bit of mere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might and can be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's you and me this morning, brothers and sisters. We are not condemned. We have been redeemed through the precious blood. We are not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's really sad. He that believeth not is condemned already. Already. Prepare to meet thy God, because it's going to come. Wonderful to ken that we are redeemed this morning. Wonderful to ken. Out of Christ, Ephesians 2:12, we are left to be battered about with all the storms of this life, having no hope and without Christ. This is what we were in verse 12. This is what we were, we maybe still are, gathered here this morning. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's really sad. That's how we were, how I was, how you were. And without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But, lovely little word that, but, now in Christ Jesus, you, me, us, who are sometimes far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Lord made nigh by the blood of Christ. Lovely again that there is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Being in Christ means real satisfaction. A tramp was outside a restaurant looking in through the window at a table laden with food, but not for him. He's a poor outsider looking in. People were taking their seats at the table and beginning to enjoy the banquet, and their hunger was satisfied, but not him, for he was outside and they were inside. Psalm 107:8-9 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonder works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 17:15, as we've read already, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Wonderful to ken that there's a place reserved for you and me in that heavenly realm. Are you? Am I? Are we far in? Since becoming Christians, how have we been getting on? Have we been making progress? Psalm 84:10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand years. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Someone once said that the opening phrase should be, I had rather be just inside the door and be content with that. In, but only in. Safe to sit back and follow at ease. We will miss so much that way. Miss so much. A woman making her way through blinding snow and sleet arrived at her destination, a house where she would get shelter for the night. And on entering the door, she saw a great blazing open fire in the lounge. On entering, however, she lay down on the mat just inside the door. And when she was asked to come into the fire, she replied that she was okay where she was, inside, but only just inside. Although better in than out, she was missing out on the full blessing that they should have gotten. See, the coal, the fire was burning lovely and the flames were dancing. But if you took a bit of coal out of the fire and laid it down in the hearth, separated, it wasn't in the fire, it was out. It would soon grow cold and fade away, and it would be next to useless unless it was put back into the flame. Inside, but only just, although better in than out. Are we just in, or are we far in? Where we as believers can have a stronger, deeper, better and wiser relationship with our Saviour? We often try and fix things our way instead of surrendering every problem to Him. In my own experience, trying to fix things myself only made things worse. We rest so much that way, only just then asking for trouble. A mother put her young daughter to bed and came downstairs after the girl was asleep. Shortly afterwards, Mom heard a thud upstairs, and when she investigated, Mom found her on the floor beside the bed. "What did you manage that?" Mom asked. "Don't know," she replied, "unless I went to sleep too close to where I got in." It's wonderful to ken that we have a wonderful Saviour that can keep us. Are we getting others in? We are not saved for ourselves alone and just sit back, but we are to be used to bring others to Him. John 17:10-20 says, "Neither pray for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through our word, my word, your word." John 4:29-39, you know the story of the woman at the well. She says, "Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did." What a witness. She knew that she had to turn to the Lord. Is not this the Christ? And many were saved through her testimony. And the men come out to the town and visited with the Lord at the well. And it says many believed on the word. Wonderful again. D.L. Moody, after he was saved, asked the deacons if he could keep the front pew for the following Sunday night. He got his way and filled it with his pals. After the service, he asked two pews for the next Sunday and filled them again. That is how he started. And as we know, multitudes were brought to church and into a saving knowledge of Christ through D.L. Moody. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I've read it already. "Therefore, if any man, woman, be in Christ, he, she is a new creator. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." "Them that are sanctified," 1 Corinthians 1:2, "set apart as are declared holy, consecrated, free from sin, purified, cleansed." Colossians 2:10, "You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power." Wonderful to ken that. The Corinthians, if you read Colossians 2, it's an all-sufficient chapter in God's Word. I think the word "all" appears about 13, 14 times in that one chapter. All things, all dominion, all salvation. Wonderful to ken. They say that word "rendered complete" is a particular word of which there are so many in the Greek language. I don't care anything about the Greek language. And that the root idea of it is this: a ship setting out to sea, fully equipped. Captain, crew, chart, compass, cargo, colours, comforts, controls, everything so there's nothing we as believers need for the voyage of life that is not found in Christ. Found in Christ. For battling with storms, for steering the ship, for flying the colours, for providing the food, for our anchor sure and steadfast, for reaching the harbour, our haven of rest. All I want or need is in him, and is a finished, completed salvation on the cross of Calvary. Are we in Christ this morning? Or are we just in at the threshold of the blessings that he has promised those that are in Christ, Jesus our Lord? Romans 10:13-17 says, whosoever calleth upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. What a promise. Have you called upon the name of the Lord this morning? Have you spoken to him this morning? It's lovely you can. I'm going to read a few verses from Romans 8, well-known scripture again. And I'm going to finish with this. Romans 8:35-39. Wonderful scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? A lot of stuff here that can separate us. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's God's word this morning, folks. That's God's word this morning. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Amen. Amen. We'll sing that last hymn. I can't even mind what it is. No, I've lost my ticket as well. Out of Christ without a Saviour.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for another opportunity of coming into thy presence. We thank you for your word, Father. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we just ask, Father, that we find a lodgement place in hearts today. Encourage us in our work, Father. Encourage us in our salvation. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. So, Father, just part us with your richest blessing. Go with us where we would go and abide with us where we would abide until that great day dawns and all the shadows flee away, until our Lord and Saviour comes back for his own blood-bought people and then be with him forevermore. For we ask it in his precious and peerless name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.